Good evening, Bethlehem and saints of God. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, and maybe even good night, or whatever time you're tuning into our Wednesday Zoom Bible study. It's Wednesday, April the 17th, 2024, and we want to welcome you to today's service. But before we get into our study tonight, I always like to take an opportunity just to make sure that you are in Paul's Valley and you have a church home. Let me say that again. Because there are many ways you could be here and not have a church home. You could have just moved here. You could have possibly given your life to Jesus Christ over the television ministry or radio ministry or listening online somewhere. And all of the true preachers are telling you that you must find a church home. If you've accepted Christ, listening to us, you must find a church home. And if you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, Garvin County, we invite you to be a part of the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We're located at 311 North Dunbar. Again, we're located at 311 North Dunbar. We'd love to see your face in this place this coming Sunday. Why don't you go ahead and join us at the 11 o'clock service? Bring a family member or a friend with you, or better yet, join us in Sunday school at 10 a.m. Before you visit us, why don't you go ahead and visit our website at heargodsword@bethlehem.com. Again, our website is heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and there you can get to know us. And once you get to know us, scroll down and click the Facebook tab, the Instagram tab, the Twitter tab, or X tab, or LinkedIn tab, and follow and friend us in what I call Cyber Church. We have an extended Cyber Church family, but ultimately, we want to see your face in this place here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. We're praying that God in the year of 2024 will send us 25 new families, either family of one, two, three, however everybody counts as a family. And also for those who've just accepted Jesus Christ, we're praying that we'd be able to baptize 15 new believers in the year of 2024. In Jesus' name. Before we get into the study tonight, I'm going to just give you an overview of kind of what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have the opening prayer. We're going to have some announcements. We're going to have the reading of the word. We're going to have an introduction video and the Bible study itself, the invitation and the benediction. So let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name. You're always worthy to be praised. Hallowed be thy name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We sanctify you, Lord, because you are sanctified. And we come as we realize who you are, confessing our sins. Father, ask you to forgive us of our sins, wash us and cleanse us, that we might be in right relationship with you, that we may be in right fellowship with you, that we may, as a result of opening your word tonight, that we might be able this morning, this evening, this afternoon, that we might be able to hear a word from the Lord. Speak now, for your people need to hear from you in Jesus' name. For announcements before we get into the study, and our Sunday school teacher on Sunday challenged us as a church that if we want to reach more in 2024, we need the skills of how to reach more in 2024. And Pastor Eddie Copeland and his lovely wife, Dean Copeland, is going to be doing a Becoming an Intentional Witness workshop. Now, this workshop is going to be sponsored by the Mount Olive Baptist Church there in Wynnewood, Pastor Bishop Harris there. But they're going to be meeting at Mount Carmel. And if you click the link I sent out yesterday during the pastor's text, It will show you where we're meeting, and that's Mount Carmel again. Mount Carmel, I know the signature or the information on the back reads differently, but we're meeting at, I spoke to them, we're meeting at Mount Carmel on April the 18th through the 19th, and that's Saturday the 20th, and it's starting at 6 p.m. And I challenge our whole Sunday school, as well as our church and those who are in the Chickasaw District, to be a part of that. If God so lead by the power of his Holy Spirit, we want to see you there in Jesus' name. Also, another announcement, Bethlehem, if we're going to reach more in 2024, we're going to write the vision down. We're going to put it on our T-shirts. And we're going to run after it. Our vision I shared as I was inviting new believers and people who need church home to the Bethlehem Baptist Church. Our vision is to reach more in 2024. It's 25 new families, 15 baptism, 15 new believers. It's what we're praying that God will enable us to do. We're going to write the vision down on T-shirts, $20. Please see Sister Eton. And again, those who've already paid, we still need to get your sizes for the T-shirts, or else I'm just going to get them in extra small. So we want you to pick up those T-shirts. And the last announcement, but not least, we're looking forward to May 5th, which is the first Sunday in May, into which we will be celebrating 17 years here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church, Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. 17 years, and I began to put my other anniversary dates on that at the 3 years I spent at the Holiday Hills Baptist Church. We're going to be talking about capping today. I just happen to have a cap with Holiday Hills Baptist Church. 3 years there. So it's 20 years in the ministry. And I was preaching 10 years before I became a pastor. So 30 years of preaching, 20 years of pastoring, but 17 years here at Bethlehem Baptist Church. Ain't he able? In Jesus' name, look forward to Edward Cochner coming down, that bishop preacher. We're looking for our son, the youngest son in the ministry we have, and that's Pastor Gray, Chad Gray. We're excited about it. Get ready, in Jesus' name. Again, I've been talking, Bethlehem, about this new series that I've entitled CAP. And CAP is a word that young people, not young people like 17-year-olds, but I think about 25, 27, those age people, they came up with a term CAP, which means to lie. It means to lie. If you start lying, they'll call out the word CAP. And also, if you start lying, I've seen them just put a cap on their head and say, cap, accuse you of capping. During this series, I said that I have myself, I've been capping with the caps. I have several caps, but some, when I wear them, I'm capping. And I'm going to share today some of the hats that I have that I'm not capping so much. This hat here is a Bronson hat, Missouri, and we went there with some pastors and pastors' wives 1 year. So this is a vacation hat. I have another hat. I told you I have a lot. What is this one? River Mile hat. I had to ask Sister Eton where we got this one, and it was in Cancun. We went to a resort there one time in Cancun and got this one. I like this one. It's pretty nice up here. The favorite trip that we've ever taken is to the Secrets Cap Resort. And this was beautiful. This was out in, ignore the stain there. This was out in, what was it, Punta Cana, That was the most, that's the trip I liked the most, and we got a cap. So I can wear these hats because I at least have been there, the ones that I've shown you. Now I may be capping with this cap, and some of you may recognize this cap, and it says property of the Colts football team. Now I was capping so many ways about this. Because number one, I've never been property of the Colts. I was not even a fan of the Colts until TJ was there on the team. And naturally, of course, I really was rooting for TJ. I wasn't rooting for the Colts. I can remember the family had me go to a game there in Dallas, Texas. It wasn't at Jerry World's before that. The Colts was playing the Cowboys. Boy, that was a hard game for me to be at. But guess who I rooted for? I rooted for the Colts that day because it was the Colts, TJ, and family. They were the ones that got me in the game, and you always stick with the ones who brought you. And on that day, I got to meet Coach Dungy. I wish I was prepared to meet him. I wasn't prepared to meet him. And his words that came out of his mouth and say, Pastor, I heard a lot about you. TJ said a lot about you. And I told you I got starstruck that day. I should have been prepared to meet him. So, but this is a wonderful memory. And I even thank the family today for allowing me to go. I went to one in Dallas and one in Indianapolis. And I thank them today for their generosity because, as you know, I said I don't pay more than $15 for my hats, and I will not pay over $300 to go see the team. I'm supposed to be a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. So I said, I'm capping with the Caps. So that's a part of my extended cap. I probably could show you some more, but we're going to continue in the series today entitled Cap, entitled Cap. And ultimately, we're praying that here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church that we'll not be a church that's capping. I pray that we'd be able to be like a sermon I heard Reverend Jah preach, or he was going to preach, and it was, we might be able to walk it like we talk it, that we're not capping, because the devil is the father of all capping. And that's his native tongue, is lying. And again, cap can also mean hypocritical ways. And we want to make sure that we, as Bethlehem Baptist Church, and really the Christian community at large, that we examine ourselves to make sure that we're not capping in and with our faith, that we are truth tellers and truth livers in Jesus' name. We told you Satan was the father of all capping, and also Bethlehem and Saints of God. I did call an audible, and I replaced two of these series. Peter, we're going to talk about the nightcapping in front of people, was supposed to be preached on the first Sunday in April. And of course, you know, we went to Houston to celebrate Sister Eton's magnificent gift to glorify God in that. So I had to call an audible, and we put Peter today. And we did talk about Judas, and last Sunday we talked about the Samson capping for funness or capping for love. And I'm not showing it here, but I replaced Goliath with someone I said in the pastor's text who deserved to be in the capping Hall of Fame, and that was Ananias and Sapphira. They deserve. So I replaced that in the series. And even though Goliath was capping on the front lines, and the rest of the series will go as shown. But tonight we're talking about capping in front of people. Capping in front of people. It's really about Peter, who was capping in front of people. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 33 through 35. Let's read this in the hearing of word. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you. I never will. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, he kept on capping, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples started capping too. All the other disciples said the same. And we will see what happens because we know the end of the story before Jesus was crucified. But tonight we're going to be looking at Peter, who was capping in front of people. And we're going to see that Peter was really putting on airs. And then Jesus had to put on admonishment. And then Peter just kept on capping and he's putting on arrogance. We want Christians to know tonight that Christians should not cap about their commitment to God. Let me say that again. Christians should not cap about their commitment to God. In Jesus' name. We're going to look at this brief video and then we'll get to the word.
We're in the upper room before Jesus to be crucified, and he has this incredible interaction with Peter. And he says in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail. And when you come back, strengthen your brothers. It's a powerful, powerful thing for someone to say. And Peter's looking at this, denying it. And he's saying, Jesus, that's not me. I promise you, I'm with you. And Jesus is saying, no, no, Satan has a plan against you. You've got a target on your back. And he's going to sift you like wheat. And I've prayed for you that your faith might not fail. But I've given him permission to sift you like wheat. But when you come back, remember this moment and strengthen your brothers. And Peter responds with the exact blueprint that Satan uses to sift him like wheat. He's like, Jesus, I will go to prison for you. I will die for you. You do not need to worry about me. But then we know that Jesus responds, and the very thing that happens is that before the rooster even crowed, Simon had committed one of the worst sins that you can, and that's apostasy, denying Jesus publicly three times.
Amen and praise the Lord. Amen and praise the Lord. We're just looking at the maps, always trying to put out the maps because it may give us some details as to what is happening in the text and what has happened in the text. First, we start with Jesus and them being in the upper room down here at the Last Supper. And when they left here, they went all the way over here, which I believe is about 3 miles, 3 or 4 miles just outside of the city to the Mount of Olives. And this is where Jesus has this discourse with Peter and lets him know what he is about to do. And then Jesus would later be at the Garden of Gethsemane and be arrested. And to which that's when they all who was capping saying that they would not disown Jesus began to disown him. And again, this is Jerusalem, by the way. I don't know if I told you this. This is Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, we always look for the Temple Mound. And remember, it's hilly. It's hilly, a mountainous land. And it was literally built upon Mount Moriah where Abraham found out that God was Jehovah Jireh. So this place has significant meaning for the New Testament and Old Testament. But this is our lesson tonight in or on the maps. Point number one, putting on airs. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. See, Peter was putting on airs because a lot of times, in order to build yourself up, a lot of people will put people down around them to build themselves up. And that's what Peter is doing here in the text. He could have said something different, like he said in the first remark, but he said, even if all fall away, he was saying, I'm better than the disciples here. I'm better than the disciples that are not here, because Jesus had more disciples who were not amongst the 12. And he began to cap. He began to cap, even though at the time we wouldn't know that he was capping. But we see Jesus had the power to see through how we cap in our relationship with him. And the more mature that you become in the Lord, the least likely you're going to cap. Because the closer you get to God, the more holy you see and know that he is, and the more lowly you will become. He said, even if all fall away, which reminds me of the text of that preacher who got discouraged after he had a real good battle against prophets of Jezebel, but he got a threat from her and he ran, and his complaint was that there are nobody else is here or amongst us, and God told him, I got several more. He thought he was all alone. Peter thought on the Mount Rushmore of Christendom that he had already earned his spot in the number one place. If we talk about the Mount Rushmore basketball, and we're having to play in tournaments now in basketballs, and there's always an argument. Who is the best of all times? And people my age say it's Michael Jordan. I hadn't seen nobody else. He's the first person on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, but younger people will say it's King James, it's LeBron, and we'll tell them, hey, LeBron don't have as many rings as Mike did. Hello, somebody. LeBron, Mike ain't never lost when he got into the championship game, but LeBron has, and we really think that LeBron is trying to get another ring. I don't know if they won last night in the playoff tournament. I shouldn't know that, but I don't. But it's always that argument. But Peter, he said, forget John. Forget the collective group, the sons of thunder. Forget all the rest of the 12. I am the man. I'm the one. I'll be down with you like four fat tires. I'll be down with you. Oh, 10 toes down, Jesus. I'm going to ride or die with you. But, oh, Brother Peter was putting on airs. Woo! He was putting on airs. Luke 22 and 33 says this, Lord, said Peter, if he is putting on airs again, I will go with you even to prison and to death. Peter thought he was all that in a bag of chips and dip when he came to running with Jesus, but he was putting on airs, because when his faith got put to the test, even though he cut. Now, Peter was the only one to cut. When I showed you the Garden of Gethsemane where they ended up, and Peter actually cut the ear of somebody's off, but he still wasn't down with Jesus to go to prison or to die, because he, like all the rest, disappeared. Hello, somebody. Even at the cross, we only see John there. And John is another one who say, hey, I'd be on the Mount Rushmore of Christendom because I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. He said, no, he had that humble brag, and he was there before Peter was there. And he was talking about nobody else. I go to prison, I'll die for you. It's easy to say it, to speak these Christian principles, but it's harder to be put to the test. Remind me of how so many people were so strong on going to church, being in church, forget not the assembling together of unbelievers, and they would quote you that, and they would get on folk for not coming to church, not being at church. But when COVID hit, some of them same folk disappeared like Peter. Hello, somebody. They weren't 10 toes down. Hello, somebody. They weren't ride or die. They'd ride with Jesus, but they weren't ready to die with Jesus. And oddly enough, it was mostly those folk who probably are more limited in time. The average man lives, the average black man, I think, lives to 78. It was those who were closer to the age, and which began to make me begin to wonder, I mean, you afraid to die? Where you think you're gonna go when you die? Hello, somebody. And it's appointed for all of us to die one day, but nobody wanted to punch that clock early. They didn't want to go out early. Don't you know you're going to be in heaven? Don't you know you're going to be in the presence of Jesus? Don't you know there's no more dying, no more lying, no more heartache, no more pain? You walk the streets of gold and see the pearly gates where we'll no longer need a sun, and there will be no longer an eclipse. I talked about that, I think, last week, that solar eclipse everybody was looking to. You see, we won't have any of that because there'll be no need for the sun, because God Himself is going to shine in heaven. Hello, somebody. Heaven should be a place that we look forward to, not run from. Somebody said everybody want to get to heaven, but nobody want to die to get there. And guess what? Old brother Peter didn't want to die to get there. He said, I'll go for prison and death. But he abandoned Jesus because he was capping in front of people. He was capping in front of people. And we should know not to cap in front of people, because God really knows our hearts. And maybe sometimes we don't even know our own heart. But Jesus had to put on admonishment. He said that tremendous statement of belief that we could have thought that was true, because this was Brother Peter. And Jesus said in the same breath where he's saying, Jesus, I'm 10 toes down, I'm ride or die with you, Jesus. Jesus said, truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night. I mean, it wasn't going to be the next day. It wasn't going to be next week. He made that determination of commitment. He said, man, Peter, stop capping. He said, this very night. And then it makes it even worse. Before the cock crows thrice in some texts, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. Woo! It made that marvelous commitment. That's how some people do. After I preach, they come down and say, I want to recommit my life to Christ. What you said inspired me to recommit my life to Christ. And then they disappear. Some of you are still missing in action. And the good thing about Jesus, we're going to say it a little or later, it ain't too late to come back now. It ain't too late to come back to Bethlehem. It ain't too late to come back to the Lord, because I was talking to a minister and said, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible where it talks where you should recommit your life to Jesus Christ. I was telling him that's something that we made up. All you have to do is repent and turn. Hello, somebody. That's what repent means. It means to turn. And you can turn around and head in the right direction, and that's your recommitment to God. And he's going to encourage Peter to do that later. But right here tonight, in this very moment where Peter is capping a line before everybody, talking about, I'm going to be the one, I'm going to be down. Jesus said, you already up. You ain't going to be down. This very night, before the cock crows, you would disown me three times. Three times. John 21. I mentioned him a little earlier, who could be argued about being on that Mount Rushmore of Christendom, because he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is what he said, that Jesus said to Peter, hello, somebody. And this is his repentance and his restoration when he had finished eating. This was after he had been risen. He asked Simon Peter, always look, when you had that Simon before Peter's name, after Jesus had changed his name, that meant he went back into that Simon character. Simon's supposed to mean pebble, and Peter supposed to mean rock. So Simon Peter, a Simon, son of John. Now he asks, do you love me more than these? He boasts. He was capping before. And Dr. Evans was the first one to teach me that this was a different Greek word in this text, to where Jesus in the flow of the congregation came down and met Peter where he was. He first said, do you agape me? And they use a different Greek word. And this was the last and different Greek word where he came down to Peter's level and he said, yes, Lord, you know. He answered, you know, I love you. On that same level, different from agape, Jesus replied, feed my lambs. You see, we can cap and we can mess up, make horrible mistakes, and we do, and we will continue to do it for the rest of our Christian life. We can be high today and ready to die for the Lord today, and we could run tomorrow. But however you are, you can always repent from capping. Because you can always make a decision in your mind that you're going to turn and go in a different direction, as God is there ready to restore you. That's the good news of the text as we fast forward to the end. But now we're going back to the text, the context of the text. He's putting on airs. Jesus put on admonishment. Lastly, old brother Peter put on arrogance. We're back in the text. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. They all, see, Peter started capping. They all started capping. Peter was bold. Peter had not been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, what God has put on the inside of us. So we cannot be really that judgmental against Peter. He wanted to be down, but he was not mature enough to be down. Hello, somebody. Let me say it again. He wanted to be down because it takes maturity to overcome capping. And I told you my testimony was there were some things when I first got saved, it was very hard for me to overcome. The first one was cussing. Cussing was like, whoo. And cussing for me, I never cussed. I said in my testimony, I never cussed around my mother. But when I got around my friends, it just came out naturally. Like it was my natural language. And another thing was lying. I used to just lie to lie. So I can relate to this capping series because I'm a former capper. Hello, somebody. Not capper, man, but a former capper. Capping, capper. Arrogance. put you in places. But does the Bible say that pride comes before the fall? And boy, was old brother Peter about to fall. And not only him, but they all started capping. And all the other disciples said the same. They all started capping. They said the same. Where's that old, this is that Prince theology. Prince said, you, I would die for you. Yeah, that Prince theology didn't work for Peter nor the rest of the disciples, and probably don't work for most of us. Because we can't, and I always say I can't know what I'm going to do in any given situation. I would like to think that I could lay my life down, but it could be what day it is. It could be determined by how much sleep I got. You know, because if I ain't got no sleep, I can easily get in the flesh. Then when I'm fully rested, that's why I always try to get full rest every night. Because if I'm in the flesh, I'm capable of anything. Hello, somebody. I don't know what I would do. I can't cap, say that I'm one of God's best. All I can say is that I try to do what I can while I can for the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to inspire others. And I pray that my character and behavior would never be a point to where I'm capping and be a blemish on the glory of God. Woo! And we all have to ask, Lord, is it I? Because if you can't ask, is it I, then you're probably being arrogant. You're probably being arrogant. God is not impressed about what you say about him and what you say you would do for him. He's more impressed for you to be truthful, like that man that came. Jesus asked him if he believed. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He likes people who keep it real. Hello, somebody. Or some young people used to say, keep it 100. And you go to him. Don't go to him in pride and arrogance. Tell him. In times you don't understand, tell him the truth. Be a truth liver. And stop trying to be all that in a bag of chips and dip before people. Who are people? It's capping in front of the people. That's why a lot of preachers can't preach, because they're up there capping. My wife is asking me about some people who say that they operate in certain gifts. And I told her, hey, they got the gift to preach. God has given them the gift to preach, but they try to be more than what they were, more than what they are. They try to prophesy and end up prophesying. Just use the gift that God has given you. Because if you say something around me, I'm going to mark it down. And the last person that says something around me, it ain't came to be. Hence, I put you in a different category. Because you're capping in front of people. Stop trying to impress people and keep your eyes on God. Hello, somebody. Peter was capping in front of the people. Declared, putting on airs and putting on arrogance. But Jesus had to admonish him. May that not be so by the members of Jesus Christ. John 13 and 37 says, Lord, Peter, why can't I follow you now? Here we go again. Capping all along. I will lay down my life for you. Peter, it's like some husbands. Undoubtedly, a lot of husbands but die for their wives. When the intruder comes in, they're willing to die to protect their wives and children. But if and that's admirable. But what's more admirable is not that you die, but that you live. That's why we think you capping all the time, talking about you're going to lay down your life. We don't want you to lay down your life. We want you to live your life. Hello, somebody. And many of us have to die for Jesus, but all of us is expected to live for him. In Jesus' name, Bethlehem, most of us are not required to die for him, but what we need to do is to live for him. Stop capping, putting on airs. Stop trying to lay down a life that, as I said in the sermon, real Christian will ride for you, but they won't die for you if you're wrong. When am I going to die for you and you're wrong? You think I'm going to die for you and you're wrong? No, I'm going to tell you you're wrong and expect you to change your behavior. God said, I don't need you to die for me, but I want you to live for me. Old brother Peter did live for God. He got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Once he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the world would turn upside down. And I'm praying that we as a church would not be a capping church, that we'd be a people who love the Lord so much that we allow the Holy Spirit to reign in our gifts, talents, and abilities and availabilities, and that we go out and live for him in Jesus' name. Let me pray this special prayer of commitment. I feel like I'm praying. I need to pray the special prayer of commitment. I know I'm out of time. But we're looking and desiring God to do a great and mighty and awesome work. I've always felt that here at Bethlehem, but we've been the kind of people that want to die for God, but not live for him. Woo. God is calling us to live out the rest of our days for him by the power of his Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. You are truly worthy to be praised, Father. And we come tonight as a church and as the body of Christ praying, Father, that you will enable us, Lord, to live for you. Your word says that we're to become a living sacrifice. Jesus already died for us once, and the curtain in the temple was split from top to bottom to signify that we no longer needed a priest, that we no longer needed a sacrifice, that we no longer needed anything to die, because Jesus died once and for all, Father. We come, Father, wanting to be that living sacrifice, Father, wanting to be filled by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may go forth, Father, and have an impact, that we may be able to turn the world upside down because we decided to go all the way with you, because we decided to stop putting on airs, that we decided to stop capping, that we decided to stop living hypocritical lives, Father, in Jesus' name, empower us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might stop grieving and limiting the power of the Spirit here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church, Lord, that you might work, that you may do exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask, think, or imagine, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. And praise the Lord. Christians should not cap about their commitment for God. There's someone who may be capping about their commitment to God because really, you act like you're saved, but you've never been saved. You've been coming to church like you're saved, but you don't ever remember a time that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. You don't ever remember a time. Well, you truly understood this verse that never gets old. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You're here in this study tonight, either live or through the podcast or through YouTube, however you come today. You don't ever remember giving your life to Jesus Christ. I want you to pray this simple prayer. Father God, I come tonight wanting to stop capping, acting like I have a personal relationship with you when I don't. I've been coming to church, but I don't know you. Right now, I want to get to know you. Right now, I believe that Jesus Christ was God's only son, that he died for my sins, was buried and raised again on the third day, so that today I may enter into a personal relationship with Christ. Today I may live or become a living sacrifice for God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, you've been born into the body of Christ. If you're anywhere near Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, Garvin County, I want to see you in the service this coming Sunday at the 11 a.m. service. Better yet, why don't you join us at 10 a.m. for Sunday school? And after I finish preaching, or even after Sunday school, you can come forward and say, hey, I pray to accept my life, accept Jesus Christ in my life. And I've come to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ right here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. That's all you have to say, and we will accept you. If you pray that prayer for the first time, we will baptize you. Set a date to baptize you, which is your first step of obedience. So we're praying tonight that you accept Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized, come forward Sunday and let me know. If you move by the power of the Holy Spirit to become a member of Jesus Christ's body at the Bethlehem Baptist Church, come down this Sunday as well. If you need prayer, and again, we tell you, you really don't need to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. All you have to do is repent and turn and start running in the opposite direction. Repent, show back up to church like you never left in Jesus' name. Feel called to preach or any other ministry will help you to discern that call and lead you in the way that you should go. I want to thank you for joining us tonight, Bethlehem and saints of God. Let me go ahead and give the benediction. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name. We ask you, Father, to put your hedge of protection around us. Keep us safe from our harm and danger until we meet again. And the people of God said, amen, and praise the Lord. Amen, and praise the Lord. Bethlehem, you are dismissed.